Good morning. We're calling to order the Wednesday, May 27, 2015 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Eva Atera Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing. Also joining us today is Gino Salcedo, who's a planner tech, new planner tech on staff, who's going to be splitting his time between zoning, special projects, and legislation, and will backfill Eva if Eva ever decides to go on vacation. So with that, we can go into some general items about the hearings. First, general information, order of presentation. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to grant a variance have been met. During this time, the applicant should also present their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any member of the public who has testimony in opposition to the project sponsor will be given a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the item and take an action today, take it under advisement, or continue it to a future date. There are 3 items on the consent calendar today. These are matters that are considered routine. And if anyone would like to speak on one of the items, please step forward when we call the cases. Otherwise, those items will be granted. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda today. And the criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Due to current backlogs, a decision letter may take up to 2 months to have issued after the hearing date. Please, if anyone would like a copy of that decision letter, please sign in the sign-in sheets against the far wall. It's important because the decision letter carries with it the appeal period, and it is appealable to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the decision letter being issued. While we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss the project, that can be disruptive if it happens during the hearing, so we would ask that you step outside and have any conversations outside the hearing room. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, June 24th, 2015. Audio recordings of these hearings are available on our website. And there are a couple, let's start with the consent items first, and then we'll do the house cleaning.
Okay, 3 items in our consent calendar. Item number 1, case number 2015-002-000-VAR. This is 145 Bonview Street, curb cut and garage door with variances sought. Item number 2, case number 2014-002523-VAR, 71 Gates Street, rear yard variance sought. Item number 3, case number 2015-001273-VAR, 716 Clementina Street, open space and exposure variances sought.
Is there anyone that would like to speak on either of these 3 items? If not, all 3 items would be granted. So any public comment on 145 Bonview Street, 71 Gates Street, or 716 Clementina Street? Seeing no public comment, the public hearing on those 3 items are closed, and they would be granted with standard conditions. Another kind of housekeeping item, the last item on the agenda, which is item number 15 for 680 to 682 Oak Street. It's our understanding that the poster for this project was not properly posted on the property, therefore the full notice has not been achieved, and we must continue that to the next hearing date, to June 24th. Is there anyone who would like to speak on the item, the continuance of 680 to 682 Oak Street to next month, to June 24th? Do you have to speak on that?
Yeah, I'm the owner, so we just go ahead and post it, and then we'll be on the calendar.
Exactly.
The 24th. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you. So with that, we will continue item number 15, 680 to 682 Oak Street, to the next hearing on June 24th. We've also received a request to take item number 13 for 1036 Francisco Street out of order to accommodate a medical need. So appreciate everyone's understanding. We will be taking that at the beginning of our regular calendar, which will begin now.
Item number 13, case number 2014-002293 VAR. 1036 Francisco Street, front setback and rear yard variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes. Please approach the mic.
Hi there. I'm the owner, Joan Berger. And the reason I'd like to apologize for not asking for a variance. We had done a major remodel in 2013. And so we got all of our permits and whatnot. And during the time that we moved into this property, we had so many criminal acts. And actually, in talking to the neighbors, I had realized that, you know, a lot of people have had a lot of criminal activity. You know, we live near Larkin Park and we live near Ghirardelli. And for whatever reason, we have a lot of transients walking on our streets. And we do have one gentleman who has been described to me as a homeless gentleman who continually comes and terrorizes a lot of the people and does petty crime. So in any event, I had my car broken into. I had my home broken into. I had my home broken into twice. So we did contact the head of police, and he had given us advice to try to, you know, block the area of anybody walking up on our roof. The reason being that my house is one of the only houses on my street that is attainable from the street. So somebody could easily just, you know, climb on my fence and then, you know, keep hopping up because it's kind of a graduated house. Every other house on the street is about three stories. And the other thing is that my neighbor, which is, I think, at 10:30, she has an easement which goes through her house and into the back and can access our house. So she doesn't have it gated off, so anybody could walk through that easement and either get on her roof or get into our property. So that was where we felt we needed to bolster our security. We had raised the fence also in the back because of privacy issues. Our neighbor's car is continually parked in that driveway, and so her lights would look right into our living room. And I just want to also explain that this wasn't something that we wanted to do. It was something that we really felt we had to do, and we really did take into consideration the aesthetics of the neighborhood. I think, as the court knows, I have about 8 letters. I have actually more letters to show support. My neighbors are very supportive of what I did. They all feel the same way as I do, that they really need to do anything that they can to stop these crimes that are continuing to happen. My husband also, who isn't here, we just weren't sleeping at night. I mean, we truly were very nervous about our safety and our kids. My son was alerted one night when we weren't home when one of these crimes happened and something fell through into our light well, and we knew somebody was on the roof. When we went up to the roof, we saw a beer bottle up there. So we know people are up there. We know people are accessing it. And actually, since we have put the railings and the fence up, we have not had one altercation. We also added lights and we also added security cameras. So I feel really good about what we did. I feel much more secure in my home, and I think it was an essential to do this. I really think it was a something that we had to do to be protected in our house. I don't know if you have any questions.
Yes, just a few. So the property referenced 1030, that's the property to the east, because
it's the property to the east, yes.
And so, because all the fences abut that property, you haven't added anything, aren't seeking anything through this variance for any other portion of the property. It's all
to the east, yes.
Property.
And also, we don't block anybody's view. We didn't try to, you know, close off anybody's light. I mean, we were really very careful about what we put up there.
And when did you install the fences?
I knew you. That I'm not quite sure. I think it was probably maybe July or August of last year.
Okay. And
it's been at least a year. Maybe it was a little earlier than that. I think it's been about a year.
About a year. Okay. And I know we've seen the letters of support. I didn't see anything from that adjacent property to the east, which would be most directly impacted. Do you have their support?
No, I think she's the one who made the complaint.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she's here to complain. I also, in regards to the fence in the back, in the backyard, that's the one that also is a, I just want everybody to understand that the hedge, when we bought the property, the hedge was actually about 2 feet higher than that fence. So, you know, that even though it is really high, there was a fence there, even though, and there was a fence there that was there when we bought the property.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Right. That is by the neighbor. It's the neighbor's hedge.
Okay. Well, we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Again, any public comment for 1036 Francisco Street? So you can step forward. Thank you. That's all that we need to hear at this point. Thank you. It's a public comment.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay, I've got a lot to say, so I'm just going to read it.
And you can, whatever you don't finish, you can submit as well.
Okay. Oh, thanks. Okay, good morning. My name is Catherine Edwards. I live at 1030 Francisco Street and have lived here for 25 years. My home is located to the east of 1036 Francisco Street. The fences at 1036 Francisco Street were built without permit and without any of the required notification given to immediate neighbors. The house at 1036 Francisco Street is a mid-century design built by Joseph Escherich. My house at 1030 Francisco Street is a Spanish-style bungalow built in 1935. The fences recently built are out of scale and out of character with the design of both properties and out of sync with the neighborhood. They do not serve any useful function in terms of adding security or safety to either property, nor do they mark a boundary as a boundary is or was already marked. Regarding the fence, which violates Planning Code Section 132, there's a pre-existing fence, which is 5 feet tall. That fence has been there for many years and was there when I bought my house in 1990. The new fence is constructed by my neighbors at 1036 Francisco Street in March of 2014, adding to the pre-existing fence. The new addition to the old fence added several additional feet, making the entire fence now 9 feet 2 inches tall. This fence is way too tall, obscures the light coming into my home. When looking at it from outside of my home, the fence looks like iron bars from a jail cell. The fence is unnecessary, unsightly, is oppressive looking, serves no useful purpose, and should be removed. I request that no variance be allowed for the building of any fence higher than the generally permitted 6 feet. Regarding the fence, which violates Planning Code Section 134, this fence replaces a beautiful 80-year-old hedge, which was partially destroyed during the remodeling of 1036 Francisco Street. This occurred in May of 2012. The portion destroyed by my neighbors was replaced by an incredibly unattractive structure of concrete and cheap-looking wood. The height of this structure varies in height and reaches up to 14 feet. The structure does not add any security or safety, nor does it mark a boundary, as a boundary was already marked by the pre-existing hedge. It is an affront to deal with this big and ugly fence where a beautiful natural creation existed. There was no need to rip out the hedge. However, this was only done in the hope of a huge backhoe would be driven up my driveway across my property in order for my neighbors to use the equipment during the remodeling. The hedge was destroyed. It was replaced with this ugly, weird-looking structure, the height of which is much greater than allowed. I request that a variance be denied and that the new structure be removed. I request that the owners of 1036 Francisco should repair the existing hedge, which they partially destroyed, and plant the same or similar hedge as what had been there before. These fences were built with no permits, no notification, no consideration of the effect that they would have on their immediate neighbor. They have no beauty, no functionality. In both cases, something attractive and useful was replaced with something obnoxious and unattractive. If people follow the rules, there would not be these problems. The impropriety of people who build things without permits and who treat their neighbor without consideration required by law ought not to be rewarded. I sincerely request that both variances be denied.
Thank you.
You can feel free
to submit any written materials that you would like as well. But just a couple of questions. So the permit holder or the requester stated that there's been a history of crime here and vandalism. What's your experience? You live there for 25 years. Have you had any experience with crime or vandalism to your property?
Yes.
Okay. And regards to the easement, is that correct that there's an easement across your property that people may be using or have used to gain access to the requester's property?
No.
So there's no easement? But
no, there's no easement for that property, no.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That's helpful. And the project sponsor will have a three-minute rebuttal. But it sounds like you've mentioned something about that there's a driveway that the requester had sought to use your driveway to gain access to her property during a rebuttal.
Correct, and they removed my 80-year-old fence.
And you had granted access at that
point? I had not granted, no. I said, fine, you know, workers can come down and have access to the back if they like. I never granted, you know, access for a backhoe and the destruction of my fence.
Okay.
It was beautiful. I was 80 years old, and, you know, in this concrete city, you know, I mean, you need as much greenery as you can get.
Okay. And you stated that there has been maybe some crime and vandalism. And when has that been? I mean, is it recently or the last few years?
No, that was about, let's see, 15 years ago.
And what happened?
My house was broken into.
Okay. Anything more recent?
No.
Okay. Thank you. So any other public comment on this item on 1036 Francisco Street?
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm John Chiatello. I believe you have a letter in your packet from me, and I really came to answer any questions you might have. There is an open driveway at 10:30. People certainly can walk down to the yard area. We have had break-ins. It's just a fact of living in the city. And I think just as important, perhaps, for your consideration is the grade on that street. And, you know, someone to the east uphill, visually, the impact of the fence is going to be much less than to the people downhill. And they're open fences, and I believe they're very much in keeping with the neighborhood. And we want our neighbors to feel safe, and this has caused them to feel safe. And I think, you know, I'm not an expert, but I believe if you look at the standards that you've set for granting a variance, that they exist. It's scary times when people are attacking your home. I can answer any questions you have.
No, I think that's very helpful. Thank you for that, for your submittal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 1036 Francisco Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal.
Yes. Yeah, I would like to address the issue of the hedge that she talks about in the rear. I didn't have it for you, but I do have a letter here that from my contractor stating that the hedge was higher than the fence that is now there. And she did give us permission to drive the equipment down the easement. We actually, I call it an easement. It is her driveway. And so let's clarify that. It is her driveway. And it is open to the public, and it is open to the street. And she did give us that okay. And we told her we were going to take out a portion of the hedge, and we did take a portion out. But we never drove any equipment down because she got so upset about the hedge that was removed, so we never used her driveway. We had to actually pull all the dirt through the front of the house, which, you know, that was fine. The other thing note that I would like to make is that she, when I came out there, probably very soon after this was submitted, I went in my backyard, and she was cutting the hedge down by half. I mean, if you look at the picture, and I know you were given pictures, but there is a picture of the hedge is now half the size of the fence. And I went out there and I said, what are you doing? Why are you cutting the hedge down that you love so much, this 80-year-old hedge that you love? And she said, well, it's for the health of the hedge. And I said, really? And the gardener was coming. I said, please don't cut any on my side. I go, please don't cut any of the hedge on my side. And she said, of course I can cut that hedge on your side. She goes, well, you know, what do you think? I'm going to cut your tree on my side? I said, you can cut the tree if it's on your property. You cannot cut the hedge on my property. And he went ahead and continued to cut the hedge on my property. So I didn't take pictures. I'm not that type of a person to try to have any kind of a, you know, any kind of I don't try to look for things to try to fight. The other note that I may submit is that this is a picture of her house that I look out every morning, and it is a blue tarp that's been on there for over...
Put them on the screen so that people could see it.
There you go. It's a blue tarp that I have looked at for 7 months. So I honestly feel that it's a little bit of a little vindictive of having this tarp put up there for so long. I did call the city because I wanted to know what kind of work she was doing, and she wasn't doing anything. She was just had that tarp hung out there. She claimed that I would not let her on my property to fix her roof, and I told the inspector absolutely she can come on my property to fix her roof if she need be. So let that be recorded that if she does need to come on my property to fix her roof, I would be more than happy to have her do that because I don't want to look at the blue tarp. It does affect our house very much. And I don't know if there was any other thing I wanted to say. I think that was it.
Can I make one brief comment?
Yes, sure. The other microphone, though.
Use that one. Okay.
And you can just identify yourself, too.
Thank you. Commissioner Sanchez, thank you for accommodating us. I'm not feeling well. I'm Ms. Berger's Margie Golub, Ms. Berger's friend and attorney. And I just want to point out that Ms. Edwards has not addressed any of the criteria in the that are to be considered in granting a variance except for aesthetics with vindictive words. And I think that the overwhelming consensus of the neighborhood is that the fences do meet the aesthetics of the neighborhood, and she has not addressed the real issue here, which is hardship.
Thank you.
And safety.
A question. So how long have you owned the property?
I've owned the property since 2010. We moved in 2011.
Okay. And then when did you first have issues with crime?
Well, we actually had, pretty soon after, we had a couple of things. My husband didn't even tell me. I think one of the neighbors said that somebody was sleeping in our backyard, and he didn't tell me because he knew. And then I think one neighbor called us because somebody was on our roof. So, you know, a few things did start to happen, and then when we remodeled, we thought that we were, you know, because we put in a front door, and we just didn't think that much about it at that time. But then things really escalated in between. As you can see, my reports were mostly from 2012 to 2013, or I'm not sure about the dates, but right before we did the fencing, we had a lot of things happen where they broke into the garage and whatnot.
But you're saying you did have problems before the remodel?
We had a couple things that I didn't really know about.
Okay.
And the other thing is, I do want to mention is that the railing that we did put in really matches her front railing, as you can also see on the pictures.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. With that, we'll close the public hearing. I think at this point, I'll take the matter under advisement and make a decision that we will then issue a letter on. I'm not quite sure that I see all the findings for the variance, and I think maybe staff had kind of expressed some concerns, but we will review and re-review all the materials before making a final decision. So thank you, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 4, case number 2014-000361 VAR, 2121 to 2123 Judah Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, I'm the project sponsor, Tim Young. Good morning. So the project calls out for a new egress stair in the rear yard to be constructed at the rear property, as we are proposing to infill an existing light well with an existing egress stair on the west portion of the building. There are no windows on the adjacent building. The rear deck is allowed as long as the side setbacks of the 5 feet remain clear. This means the removal of a 2 feet by 5 feet corner portion of the bedroom number 2 on sheet A 2.1. So this calls out for a removal of both a second floor portion and a third floor portion. And as you see on the drawings here, the two bedrooms are actually staggered. And they're staggered because of the way the property was designed. And here you have a bathroom here and the existing light well that we will be infilling. So this is the proposed drawings here. With the rear deck and with not much change to the two bedrooms, but we've infilled the light well with the stairs with an additional bathroom and closet. And so the bathroom and closet will serve as an ensuite bathroom for the bedroom number two. By removing the corner portion of this building here, as called out by this planning code interpretation 136C25BII, to summarize what this plan code interpretation is, if there are bay windows obstructing the side setbacks, these bay windows must be removed. But in our case, because of the layout of the building, these are not exactly bay windows. It's actually a staggered layout of two bedrooms where bedroom number two is an actual pop-out over the building itself. An aerial view shows subject property here and here are staggered, whereas the adjacent building to the left are flat buildings, flat-face buildings, whereas our property and the adjacent building to the right have that staggered layout. By removing that portion of the building doesn't really provide an open view to the adjacent buildings because they are only looking into other people's properties with no real view to look at. This is a side area view. With the proposed deck being built, that corner removed doesn't do much. So we are seeking a variance to not remove that portion of the building. And it will definitely drive up the cost of the project itself. And this project has been delayed for over a year with no tenants in the building. So we really like to finish this project and rent out the building, the two properties.
Okay. Thank you. How long have you owned the property?
The owner has owned the property. Actually, I don't know.
I've owned it for 2 years.
2 years, okay. And do you know what year the building was constructed?
I don't have the exact year, okay. But my guess is the 1950s.
Okay, no problem. All right, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 4. It's the first item on the regular calendar for 2121 to 2123 Judah Street. Any public comment on this item? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing. At this point, take the matter under advisement. I know the Section 311 notification expires at the end of the month. One of the reasons would be to see if there's any discretionary review requests that may be filed during this time. I do see that there could be support for a variance. It's a standard lot size of 25 by 100, but does have a relatively large front setback, and that is reducing the developable area of the lot. The projection is something that would be close to what would be permitted under 136, but would require removal of an existing portion of the building, and it's providing usable open space directly accessible from the main levels at the rear and access to the rear yard. So with that, and taken under advisement, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 5, case number 2015-000281, VAR, 1582 and 1582A, Sanchez Street. Lot size, rear yard, open space, and exposure, variances sought. Project sponsor, 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Troy Kashanipour. I am the architect representing the three owners of the property. We are requesting these variances for the principal purpose of enabling a lot split on the parcel. 1580 through 1582A Sanchez Street. We have the historic condition as evidenced by the 1917 Sanborn map of two buildings on one lot. We have a two-unit building in the front, and we have a single unit in the back. There are three owners of this property. The rear building is accessed through a tradesman's alley from, or tradesman's entrance from the street, which is kind of an open-air passageway. Granting of these variances will not change any facts on the ground in terms of building footprints, open space, or effective rear yard. As I mentioned, if the variance is granted, we will work with the surveyor to record an easement for the access to the rear structure. Granting of these variances will allow independent financing, preservation of property rights, and will allow the properties to be maintained independently, which is desirable for all three owners. I was able to dig around and find a precedent for a similar condition at 73 through 75 Wood Street. I'm sure you, being the zoning administrator, know of other similar circumstances where a variance may have been granted. So that concludes my presentation, and I'm available to answer questions.
Thank you. So you mentioned that there are three owners of the property, so I'm assuming this is held as a TIC. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I guess the goal would be to subdivide to have the rear property would be its own single-family lot, and the two-unit building in the front would then go through a condo conversion, owner-occupant condo conversion? Was that the?
I assume that that's what would happen.
And when did the current owners buy the property? Do you know?
I believe the transaction occurred about 9 months ago. I could have somebody send you that record.
Okay. So it was only relatively recently that they acquired the property, but they did acquire it knowing that it was, they're entering into a TIC agreement.
Yes, that's correct.
And prior to that, it was just an owner. One owner with rent.
It was one owner, and the building was vacant, and it was sold.
Okay,
except for the rear structure.
Okay, have there been any evictions?
To my knowledge, there's been none. I can get you confirmation of all of that.
All right. Well, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 5 for 1582 and 82A Sanchez Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. I'm aware that we did get one letter in opposition. The project sponsor has indicated that they may be able to get some additional information regarding ownership dates and potential eviction history, so that'd be great to have that. At this point, I'll take the matter under advisement, and we'll move on to the next item. Thank you.
Item number 6, case number 2015-001355 VAR. 2728 Green Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes to.
Good morning. My name is David Armour. I'm the project architect for this project. 2728 Green Street. We are seeking kind of a two-part variance. One is rear yard requirement. Where's the, sorry. A rear yard requirement variance for a two-story area here at the side. And then as well as a variance from the 30-foot height limit at the rear portion of the buildable area. This is a single-family home. It's on an RH2 zoned lot. So in my opinion, there's sort of a discrepancy between sort of the usage of the property and the zoning. And the block is dominated by sort of very large structures. The house, the structure immediately to the west, this is the rear line of it right here, is a five-story structure. It's a downsloping lot. And so we're looking at a almost five-story sheer wall along the property line. So we're asking for a variance to fill in this on a two-story level up against the solid wall, this small area right here, which from my point of view allows the residential design guidelines to sort of properly be applied to this particular property. We've got a sheer five-story wall that this mass helps to kind of conceal and hide, and it provides some additional usable outdoor space for this property, which again is on a sort of a downsloping lot and doesn't get a lot of light due to the fact that it's north facing and does have a very large structure adjacent to it. So this helps fill in a sort of a dark, unusable part of the lot. The second portion, which is the kind of the height limit in the back, applies to sort of a uppermost maybe 5 feet of a 5 foot central expansion in the back. Flipping around here is this area right here where if we were on an RH1 zoned lot, this height restriction wouldn't apply and we wouldn't be seeking a variance. And again, from my point of view, this is sort of allows the residential design guidelines to properly, apply to this property, allows for a kind of a beneficial development of this particular property. It doesn't impact any of the neighbors. We met with both neighbors on both sides. They were both very supportive of the project. We didn't ask them to write letters of support, but they were very kind of enthusiastic about what we were proposing, appreciated the fact that we had met with them and took their kind of interest into consideration. Like I said, the property to the west is completely beyond the end of my client's building, so they can't even see the work that's actually being proposed. And the neighbors to the east appreciated the fact that all of our expansions were either down low or didn't really project out in a way that they could see and have any impact on them. So they felt very comfortable about the whole thing. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 6 for 2728 Green Street. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance. I appreciate the project sponsors' argument regarding this being more of it's a single family home and maybe it could be we could apply the RH1 zoning. I would disagree slightly with that because the RH1 zoning, while it does have a lesser rear yard requirement, also has a lesser height as well. And this building is 4 stories over basement, so approximately 6,000 square feet. But I think it is a relatively minor expansion of about 300 square feet. And I think more of the lying on the exceptional extraordinary circumstances here is the topography and the nature of the adjacent building. And so I do agree with the project sponsor, and the project does comply with residential design guidelines and makes good use of space that would otherwise be kind of unusable. So with that, I'm inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 7, case number 2014-002691 VAR, 2635 18th Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor?
Hi.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Mm-hmm. My name is Robert McPhee, and I'm a native San Franciscan who's lived a few blocks from the subject property for over the last 20 years. I bought this property from my friend Tony with the intention of remodeling it and living in it for the rest of my life. It'll be the biggest, nicest house I've ever owned. I've never developed a property before and never sought a variance before today. The goal of this project is to create a real, usable backyard for the single-family home where one doesn't now exist. The current rear area is unusable for a real backyard because of a pre-existing obligation to the adjoining property won't allow a ground-level backyard area with plants and trees and must remain asphalt. The ground floor gets limited light because of the towering structures in the rear of the adjacent property substantially blocks light at the ground level. I suspect that an objective of the rear back setback requirement is to allow not only for the separation of buildings, but also for the promotion of outdoor space. We are creating a real backyard where one doesn't currently exist that doesn't impede the light or view of the adjacent property. The deck height will allow the newly established backyard to have more light. Because of the adjoining property's rear structures block considerable light at the ground level, the 11-foot deck height will allow more light in the backyard for plants and enjoyment of the new backyard. Disallowing this variance will result in a greatly truncated deck and substantially less usable backyard. There's no harm to the adjoining property owners in allowing this variance because their rear structure towers over the subject property and the raised deck doesn't impede their view or light. The raised deck in the rear will help compensate for the height of the adjoining property rear structure. My home will have a real usable and enjoyable backyard.
Ben Anderson, the architect for the project. And in the application, you can find the five specific responses to findings. But I think a simplified way of describing it is that it's somewhat easy to look at this variance application and mistake it for a variance for parking, where it's not a parking variance. The subject property has parking adequately provided for outside of the rear yard setback. But with the exception of that is that because there's existing nonconforming parking occurring in the neighboring property, which is accessed through an easement on the neighboring property that allows the subject property access to their parking, there is this sort of shared relationship of this easement, and the existing rear yard of the subject property is used for access to this other parking. It's not conforming, it's not legal, we're not getting involved with the parking of the neighbor, but I want to make the point that it might appear that this is for cars. It's really not, except that it allows my client to be a good neighbor and let his neighbors use his property to get to the spots they've been parking in. So really the basis for findings that support the approval is the presence of existing nonconforming buildings surrounding the subject property. The east sunlight is completely blocked by a three-story building in the rear yard setback. South sunlight is partially blocked by a neighboring two-story building, partially blocking the subject property rear yard setback, but built in completely to zero lot line in the rear yard setback of the neighboring property to the south. And the west has an 18-foot tall CMU building also in the rear yard setback. So all three sides have been infilled in the rear yard setback. We're not proposing to build a building back there. We just want to build a deck to try to get some sunlight. So the elevated deck helps to mitigate the issue of the solar exposure being blocked by existing nonconforming structures, and it also has this benefit of helping Mr. McPhee be a good neighbor and let his neighbors keep parking where they're parking.
Thank you. So they're not parking. They won't be parking underneath the deck, right? It's just so they, because their garage is accessed from the side that faces your property, and so it's more maneuvering area. They can pull in, back out.
They only have the easement width to maneuver into a spot that's perpendicular to the easement.
And you'd mentioned that there was an agreement. Is there, I mean, other than an easement, is there any written agreement about the parking access, or that's what you're referring to? But
yeah, I was referring to the easement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is only for the benefit of Mr. McPhee's property to get to his parking in the back of his lot. It's an easement from the neighboring property.
Okay.
There isn't an easement in place for access to the parking off of the subject property lot.
Okay.
It only goes the other way.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I know there was a permit issued for parking at the rear of your property, so you can legally park. I think there was at least one space
outside there. Of the rear yard setback, yes.
Right, right. But there's only that one parking space.
Right.
And then to the property to the south, which has the two buildings on the lot, the photo indicates that there's a deck at the rear there, but it's not shown on the plans, and it'll be pretty close to, and I think at the same elevation as the deck that you're proposing. There is the stairs that you're having kind of as a buffer, but have you had any discussions with that property owner on York Street to the south?
I spoke to her generally about the plan.
Can you approach the mic so you can
I spoke to her generally about the plan, but I don't think she's seen the plans per se. She lives in Hawaii now.
Okay.
And but she's very supportive of the whole thing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment. Any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 7 for 2635 18th Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the conditions with the adjacent properties, in particular that property to the west, who had full lot coverage, does have an impact on the subject property. There is, I think, a deck that is now under construction. I think that is shown as existing. This will be enlarging that and provide some substantial usable open space for the subject property. So with that, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2014.0666, VAR, 241 10th Street.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Alan Say. We're the architects of the 241 10th Street project. We want to take this moment to elaborate on our variance application. First, we are currently only seeking variance for the obstruction in the front of the property line. We're no longer seeking in the rear of the property. We also want to walk you through some of the conditions based, that allow us to develop on this variance application. I want to start with the constraint from the lot, the very unique lot width, which is 90 feet in width, which is quite a difficult width to work with. And we started by just subdividing into 8 equal divisions and place bedrooms and living rooms facing the street. And as you can see, that the width of each room and each space ends up being less than 10 feet 6. So it was quite difficult for us to develop a scheme off of that. And from that scenario, it also generated an undesired unit mix, where we ended up with 66% two-bedroom for this part of the neighborhood. So as we sort of advance into like later on in the development, we came up with a strategy to stagger these bedroom units. And in turn, it allows us to take advantage of the lot depth and also indirectly created a strategy for us to break down the massing of the building, where we have these two recesses and what we call light cores. So in advancing onward is what we were able to begin to take advantage of these recesses is that, okay, now we generated 4 different light wells throughout the building where all the units can benefit from the traditional light wells versus a more conventional format. Only 4 units throughout the building can benefit from the light wells. So, and all in all, I think the argument of the formal and massing strategy began to sort of emerge. When we looked into the just the general bay window guideline here, what we sort of discovered is that, well, I think the most we can get out of this code is just at a level of a surface, which is a generic facade that would get attached to the massing of the building. But say, based on just further development, is that, okay, maybe the bay window can be more integral into the form of the building that works with the recesses that we introduce, etc. And we do want to clarify that the bay window projection that we're seeking is still below the requirements in terms of length and area. So, and towards the end, what we ultimately want to avoid is to have any generic facade that gets attached to the massing of the building, but instead allowing the bay window to be more integral and to create a more unique massing and form of the building. And what I want to end this presentation with is just more successful examples nearby our project site where the obstruction and bay window were a lot more integrated into the massing of the building, and we hope that we can have this variance granted.
Thank you. That was an excellent, very thoughtful presentation. I appreciate that. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, on item number 8 for 241 10th Street. Seeing no public hearing, seeing no public comment, I'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance. Noting, you know, first year, as you stated, the exception that you're seeking will not result in any greater area than would otherwise be allowed under the code. The code should not be something that stifles creativity, and what you've done here, I think, addresses that. I know the urban design team is supportive of the design of the project, as I understand it. So with that, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 9, case number 2014-002453 VAR, 76 Bernal Heights Boulevard, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. I'm Terry. This is my wife, Karen. We're the homeowners, and I'm going to show you a quick diagram. I'm not sure, Mr. Sanchez, if you have this, if you can see it. The home was built in 1960. Ours is the, hold on, let me point. Right here. So you can see it built in 1960. It had little teeny tiny backyards on this end, and ours is the size of a postage stamp, which is why we're seeking a variance to rebuild some stairs that have rotted off. I'm just going to quickly show you another image. This is the current, I'm sorry, it's sideways, it doesn't fit. This is the current, I call it the death trap stairs, the old code, where if you're carrying your barbecue from the top, it's pretty intimidating to get to the bottom.
It's a quick way down, I think.
Yeah. The home is on a steep slope, so the stairs are long.
And then finally, here's the design. We'd like to put in winders so that carrying the barbecue, we can at least slow the fall. And that's the last image. That just shows the existing back stairs in the backyard.
Okay. I'm Karen. I just wanted to say the proposed stairs, we feel that they would be much safer and easier to use. And because they'll be oriented differently, they'll end where our current deck is. So it just makes more sense. And because the homes are staggered, the new stairs will be 4 feet wider or deeper into the yard, but it won't go beyond our western neighbor's edge of their house. So it won't stick out, and it won't be visible from the street. We had all the immediate neighbors over about a year ago, as is required, to review the plans. They really liked it. They felt that it would be in keeping with the mid-century modern style, and they felt that it would be nice for the neighborhood. So, thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item or on item number 9 for 76 Bernal Heights Boulevard? Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting this does provide usable open space directly accessible from the main living level as well as improved access to the rear yard, and it's articulated in a way to reduce any impacts on the neighbors.
Thank you. That's the best birthday present you could have given my wife today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hope you have somewhere better to go than here after this.
Item number 10, case number 2014-002581 VAR, 625 Hyde Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Jim Skelton. I'm the project architect. You have the case findings, I believe, right in front of you. We're requesting a rear yard variance for the fifth floor penthouse of an existing structure built in 1920, which is actually an historical building. We are not touching the front facade. We are proposing just to extend the fifth floor 5'6" by about 13 feet into the required 25% rear yard of the building. It will still be set back about 6'4" from the existing rear footprint of the building. The existing rear footprint of the building does extend into the existing required rear yard. This is a dense urban area with tall apartment buildings and warehouse buildings that take up most of the respective lot areas and rear yard space. This does not add to the building height and allows the seventh unit of the building to have one additional bedroom. I can say also that this variance request poses no adverse effect on the surrounding properties, does not impact shadows, wind, light, or air of adjacent properties, and will not change the character of the existing building or of the existing neighborhood. Any questions?
So the number of units is not changing, but this is allowing for an increase in the number of bedrooms for that upper unit. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And as it is currently somewhat of an odd configuration, there is a structure at the top level at the front, and mm-hmm. you also have two large light wells, and then this is going to be at the rear. So you can be limited by that separation that you have between the two structures at that upper level as well as the light wells.
That's correct. It's a concrete mass building, and touching the existing parapet walls is problematic, because then you're changing the structure of the building and the historical character of the building. So keeping the light wells, the only place to add on is actually to the rear of the building, since it's only a 25-foot wide lot and the two light wells come in quite a bit. So that area right there is rather narrow, and it's used for deck space for the top units.
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any public comment on this item and on item number 10 for 625 Hyde Street? Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance for the reasons already stated about that configuration, and particularly at the upper level, noting that they are increasing the size of one of the existing units by adding a bedroom, so increasing usable space for that unit. And we can move on to the next item.
Item number 11, case number 2014.1394V, 144 Lexington Street. Lot size, rear yard, and front setback variances sought. You have 5 minutes to.
Good morning. Philip Lesser for project sponsor. Mr. Sanchez, it might help my presentation.
Sure.
And first, I'd like to thank the planning department that's always been very diligent on all the projects I worked on, but on this particular one, up and over, as you can see, that's the backside of your colleague, Kimberly Durant, who went and came out to the site, which we really appreciated. Here's the affidavit of posting, Ms. Taylor, for that one. And then here's for our building permit, another affidavit. So the reason we're here today, Mr. Sanchez, is because this is the only lot on the block, and this is the block between 18th and 19th Lexington and Valencia, that is a through lot. And as you can see from the historical map, I'll show the public here. And again, I want to thank your other colleague on this one, Edgar Oropesa, who went deep into the bowels of your archives to find this. This was done by the Work Projects Administration, as you may know, in the 1940s, hand-drawn. And that green arrow that I have there, it should say new residence on your map there. Basically, that was the through lot, and they built the building that we're talking about in the 1940s, so it was new in the 1940s. And what has occurred is there's a shed, as you can see, behind it, and that's the only place that we kind of have a break in that mid-block. And what's happened, fast-forwarding to today, if you go into the back dining room of Tacolicious at 741 Valencia Street, you're sitting in that shed. And that shed was used prior to Tacolicious as the administrative offices of New College. You may recall New College was on that block. It had the former mortuary, which is now the chapel entertainment venue. And in 2011, we had the hearing for Tacolicious, and that is part of the entitled property over there. So the reason that we're here today is we don't have the normal size lot for 144 Lexington Street. There's only about 10 feet of backyard there, and what we're seeking is a variance so that we could do a lot split. It would be a substandard size lot. Also, for Edgar Oropesa, it wouldn't be a precedent for that area. All the red splotches you see there, those are all substandard lots within close proximity. So it's not completely out of the ordinary. It's existed since the 1940s in the current condition that it's in. We're just asking to basically, I guess, kind of codify it to basically have it recognized in the system as such. And also, since we're going to go vertical, we have a building permit out for that one level. We'd also like to get a front yard variance to come into conformance. And here I'd like to thank the residential design team from the planning department, who spent a lot of time working with project architect, and they're very happy with the way the front facade is proposed. So that's, and I'm here for any questions, comments that you may have, sir.
Thank you. My understanding, the Section 311 notice just expired on the over the weekend, so yesterday would have been the last day to file.
Correct, and it's still up, and we've had very good conversations with our neighbors. We have Richard Churchipojo, who lives to our north, and his major concern was privacy. And we've agreed to put up a privacy wall 72 inches high, and he's satisfied with that. Other than that, we have heard from the residents above Taco Licious, and we assured them that there's not going to be any construction whatsoever in the building that they're in. And again, this one of the reasons we like to have this lot split is so that, you know, in the future, if somebody wants to do some work on 144 Lexington, it's not all commingled with 739, 741 Valencia, which, of course, is also completely different zoning. That's NCT Valencia, and we're with RTO on Lexington.
And so in regards to that neighbor to the north, it's my understanding, in addition to the privacy wall, was there also an increase in the size of a light wall to match their light
yes,
wall, which
and
is
it's,
not shown
it's
on the
going to be
plans.
In conformance with that, so it'll be a mirror image.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, we'll see if there's any public comment. Any public comment on this item for 144 Lexington Street? Seeing none, we would close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the modifications that have been made by the project sponsor to match the adjacent light well, and also noting the privacy screen, which was at the request of the neighbor. Can move on to the next item.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Item number 12, case number 2014.0419V, 457 Whaler Street, rear yard and open space variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Sorry. Feels like afternoon. David Sternberg, Sternberg Benjamin Architects. I'm the architect for the project. Basically, I will not take a lot of time. We are proposing to put a new single-family house at the rear frontage on Germania Street. In fact, it's the only lot that does not have a small house out the back of a lot fronting on Waller Street. We are just creating a central yard on our lot that's very consistent with most of the properties fronting on Waller and backing up on Germania. I really have nothing further unless anybody has any questions. I have drawings. I have paperwork. But if there's nobody objecting, then I don't want to waste anybody's time.
All right. Thank you. And I think the plans are clear that it matches the pattern of development, and we had at least one letter of support. Was there an associated airspace subdivision with the lot? Has that been withdrawn, or will that be withdrawn? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, and we'll see if there's any public comment on this item.
Okay.
Any public comment on item number 12 for 457 Waller Street? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting in part that it satisfies completely with the pattern of development here on the subject block. So we can move on to, well,
case number 14. Item number 14, case number 2014-000229VAR, 73 Downey Street. Rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here for 73 Downey Street?
Oh, okay. Then let's see.
I don't see him.
Well,
This gentleman called on the phone and asked me what time he should be here, and I told him you should be here at 9:30.
Did he say the day?
Yes.
So how many items do we have in June?
We have 17 cases.
So let's move this to the June 24th hearing. So, you know, the project sponsor did not show. We will continue this. Public hearing remains open June 24th, noting that the Section 311 notice appears will be expiring on June 18th. So we will have that wrapped up prior to the hearing date.
Okay. And then the last item, item number 15, which is 680 to 682 Oak Street, is also being continued to June 24th. And that's the end of our calendar.
And we'll see if there's any general public comment.
Any public comment?
Anything you'd like to say? And that's it. Thank you.
That's it.